Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
Hello and welcome to Slamfire Radio. This is episode 573, recording live on September 18th, 2024. I'm your host, Adriel.
I'm Kyle.
Oh, I'm Kelly, I think. I'm not looking at the show notes,
you're
so
Kelly,
might
think.
As well jump in.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're Kelly.
You got it right.
Yeah, I thought, last I checked, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think Dustin was
you.
Need
to see your picture of a bunny rabbit to prove that you're Kelly.
I am not Kelly.
You pretended to be Kelly at some point in your life.
I have. I think so. It's some.
We're not judging. It's 2020.
I guess it's not reverse day. I am apparently diversity hire Cowtown Tony.
I for one am glad that we've finally broken that glass ceiling. Good for you, Tony. Good for you. I'm Random Dave.
Yeah, for that you will understand the inside joke if you're a subscriber to the Sandfire Discord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got everyone on the show tonight. So why don't we get into what we did with guns? I don't know. Tony, you're my top left. Why don't you go first? I just saw you drinking. That's why I picked you.
How many days in a row have I done this? Anyway, so I mentioned last week that I sent out my stuff for... I went to the States. So I brought my Lee Precision stuff to send back to the factory. I got a USPS flat rate box, so similar idea as Canada. I packaged everything in. It's not dangerous goods, and I sent it off. And 4 days later, which is, the distance is only about 600 miles, 4 days later, there's no more updates, and it's just in the system now. So according to the USPS guideline, after 15 days, which is already passed, I can submit a claim, and they have this portal of all the things you can submit, what things are supposed to cost. So did all that yesterday, so hopefully I'll hear back soon-ish. I don't really need the parts back. Here's a shout out to Rusty Woods in Mission, BC. They have all the Loadmaster parts, so I've sent out two crucial parts. One is the indexer, so what advances the shell plate on my Progressive on the Loadmaster, and the priming arm. So those two parts I was expecting to send back to the factory for refurbishment, but if they're lost, I can get a replacement. That's not a big deal. I guess I came out even in the end, regardless. I mentioned last time, well, a few weeks back, that for some reason, my Surefire CR123s ran out only about 3 months into their terms. And for some reason, I bought three. One is in a gun, one is out. I can't find a third, so I order some more Energizers this time. I'm going to report back if my second Surefire died as early as the first one, which seems odd since the first... Energizer died only about like almost a year in, and I have invested.
Tony, is this just with no use, just sitting there?
Nope, that's was a full season of competition, so it's not completely unreasonable, but it still seems like a lot for 3 months of use. And it's not, I'm not Taylor, I'm not going to the range every single day. And I did invest in the very handy Magpul MOE grip inserts to hold, it will hold two CR123 in here, so I always have two spares in case I needed them.
God, I hate those batteries so much.
They're not as good as AA or AAAs, are they? I don't know why all the flashlights still decide to kind of stick to that.
Well, they're small and they last forever, but my issue with them is A, insanely expensive, and can't find them everywhere.
Amazon
have them.
I sleep on Amazon.
And they're not They're of questionable origins, I want to say. I got these through work. We have an industrial supplier, and apparently some control panel still uses them. So I was able to get them to like a similar price as Amazon. Obviously slower, but at least I know they're genuine. I did some 3D printing. So this is a... Well, this is a modified version of a case sorter. Oh, God, the color representation is terrible. This is supposed to be bright green. Anyway, so I didn't realize this until I shot IPSC matches outside of my clubs that there's actually a lot of 40 cal shells on the ground. If I'm at my own range at BTSA, I can get like a couple every time I pick brass, and it's mostly 9. So to speed up the process, I printed this, but I have a smaller than usual 3D printer. I have a Prusa Mini, which have a build plate of 18 by 18. So the standard one actually won't fit, so I have to modify this one smaller. And you can't just reduce the size of the grid because then your spacing is going to be wrong. So this one is technically 40-45, but I did the math. It's actually correct-ish, and it works pretty well. So now I can give all my 40 brass to one of our standard shooters.
Did you
actually? Yeah, go ahead.
Did you make that file yourself, or did you just download that?
No, I downloaded it and then I modified it. I'm not.
You should send me the link to that.
It's actually not that hard to find. Yeah, I'll probably have the modify one publish on the Slamfire Discord as well, in case you have a Prusa Mini.
Cool.
I'll put that away and. I'll showcase my 1911 holster without a 1911. There's an upcoming, probably last Steel Challenge weekend match for the year at BTSA. And I've secured myself and borrowed 1911. I'm going to shoot 2 divisions, limited, which I'm be slow in, and then single stack, which is the proper division. But now I'll knock 2 more out of my Club 13 Challenge. So, if I plan everything correctly, if the stars align, I can technically get to Club 13 before the end of the year? Well, we'll see about that, but we'll see about if this will actually fit that gun, too. But worst case, I can also borrow the holster, so that's not the biggest deal.
What's Club 13 do for you? What are you trying to get?
I don't know. Get a shirt? Looks cool. I don't know. I'm not good at sports, so you gotta do something to commemorate something, I guess. I don't know.
No, but like, what's the achievement? So you said Club 13 is
so
it
you
like,
have to achieve a classification. So basically, you challenge all 13 divisions without DQing yourself.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
That's fine.
So, you're trying to it's Pokemon. You're trying to collect them all.
Yeah. There you go. Well,
and not get
DQ'd. And I'll probably the only. If I made it, I'll probably be the only Club 13 member that doesn't have a pistol.
Hey.
Maybe, because there might be kids out there who have Club 13. I don't think so, but maybe. So that'll be something. It'll be kind of funny, though. Let's go to Dave next, because he hasn't been on for a while.
I have been up to a bunch of stuff, and where the hell did my show notes go? That I was writing on. There they are. Okay. So I sorted more brass because I've been getting a ton of brass from different things. When I RO, I just have a brass bucket. And if you don't want the brass, throw it in the bucket. I'll take care of it. So mm-hmm. I currently have 2 sandbags full of 5.56, 223. I don't even know how many rounds are in each sandbag, but it's a lot. So I don't know what I'm going to do with that. I've probably got 10,000 rounds of 223 brass. So I'll have to pick some buddies. And I got a ton of 30-06 brass, which I gave away, probably 200 rounds of that. Got a pile of 6.5, gave that away. Got about 500 rounds of 308 brass once I sorted it, and a ton of 40 and 30 cal, bit of 45, so it was good. And then some random stuff like 8mm Kurtz and just weird stuff. So gave all that away. So that was fun. And then what else did I do? I ran an 500-yard plinking day, practice day, 2 weeks ago. So that was a lot of fun because we're primarily, Ontario Rifle Association is primarily a competition-driven organization. So we have practice days, but we don't have a lot. And we don't have any 500 yard practice days. So last year I decided I was going to run two of those and it was great. Had 22 people out. We shot for the whole day, got through two relays at each range. So that was a lot of fun. The ORA had a service rifle match, which I couldn't attend, unfortunately, because I had something to do, but I showed up just for the morning to help with setup and say hi to everybody. So service rifle is back in Ontario. If you happen to be interested, go to the Ontario Rifle Association page. We got a match in a couple weeks. So that was cool. I shot an ORA first match of the year. I shot an ORA rifle CQC and NSCC handgun match. And I haven't actually gotten the scores, so I don't know how I did, but I didn't know where my rifle was shooting, so I just said screw it and went for groups. So I dropped 60 points out of 100 on one particular match because all my shots were 4 inches low, but my group was good, so whatever. Good. I was happy with that. So I actually have to get to the range and spend a couple hours and go from 35 to 10 with my rifle and just write down my come ups because 35 to 10 is a hell of a big difference on your sight. So you gotta set her up properly. And I hadn't fired my handgun in a year, so I didn't do very well on that, but most of my bullets hit the target. So whatever, I was happy with that too. And then, what the hell else did I do? Oh, I did an ORA intro day on Sunday, which was awesome. Had a ton of people out and had 25 intro day people. So it's an introduction to the Ontario Rifle Association and I was ROing it. Sporting Rifle, Chris ran the butts for it. And it was awesome. Had like 20 people come out just to shoot for fun and then had 25 newish to the ORA or brand new to the ORA people, including a bunch of people with no pals who'd never touched a rifle before. And we had them shooting playing cards at 300 yards. So that was awesome. And I think that's it. How about you, Dustin?
Dave, I have an outsider question. Shoot. Because I'm not a part of the ORA. From what I understand, ORA shoots out of CFE border. Is that like always or is it sometimes?
So this year it's been pretty much all out of Borden. We used to shoot at Connaught quite a bit. Connaught ranges, I think are still shut down. So we haven't been shooting up there. We used to shoot at Nona and Cedar Springs, but they're not really a thing anymore. They built subdivisions up against them and people started whining about gunshots in their backyards. Shockingly, when you build your subdivision backing onto a military rifle range, there are people with rifles there.
Oh, wow. So does the military just not train anymore?
The story is that some guys from Toronto bought houses and they literally back onto like the 300 yard mound. They're not far off the mound. I know, idiots. So they went and complained to their MP that they couldn't have peaceable use of their own property. So go buy
someplace else.
Right. You know, maybe didn't notice that there was a rifle range in your backyard.
Or a military base.
Does that mean
it's not a military base, interestingly enough. It's just a range. So it's just a training facility. It's literally just a rifle range. So they started putting caliber restrictions in, so you couldn't fire anything but .223 in like the left six lanes. 308s had to be at the other end, so service target rifle guys, they're done because that's so we were okay for service for a while, but they just lots of restrictions and lots of complaints, and it's an expensive range to rent as well, because the military sublets out all the work there, so they got to pay contractors to come in and open the gate for us. So it's expensive. Not as nice a facility as Borden either, and it's a hell of a long drive for most of our a lot of our people that are sort of in the more central Ontario than Western Ontario area. So we really haven't shot down there very much. So this year it's been up at Milken and it's been at Borden. We've had a few events up at Milken because their facilities are awesome.
They're amazing.
You will never have a range of your own then. I guess land prices in Ontario, I understand. So.
Oh, it's insane. And municipalities, because it's so heavily built up too, it's very difficult to afford the land. Like I was looking at just south of my place last week, I was looking at an 80-acre chunk of land with no buildings on it, just buildings that need to be torn down. It's 80 acres, very irregular shape. It is $2.2 million. for 80 acres. When my family sold their 200-acre farm, which is in a similar location, a little further south and west, 20 years ago, I think my dad sold it for like 400 grand or something like that.
Wow.
So, yeah, the property's insane. And it's hard to get approval for rifle ranges because all your local horse people come out and they're like, oh my God, horses are scared of guns. And then all the neighbors bitch and complain and you get all the NIMBYs come out and blah, blah, blah. It's a real pain in the ass to get approval for a range in Ontario. It's hard.
Yeah.
Indoor ranges, sometimes not as bad. One of my buddies got approval in principle from Collingwood to put an indoor range in there in an industrial area. Because, you know, you can't hear anything. You're not bothering anyone out there. But an outdoor rifle range, it's hard.
If only we had cans.
Yeah, right. If only that was a thing. If only that wasn't a horrible public safety issue / sarcasm.
You should move out to Alberta where there is nothing but land for the see.
That only applies to northern Alberta. Calgary is pretty crowded.
There's a lot of land
out of here.
A lot of land out in Calgary, too.
If you move up north Ontario, you can get land cheaper. But you got to go way the heck up north. So I should move to an unincorporated township, and then I can do whatever the hell I want. Nobody can say anything.
Buy a town that's gone bankrupt.
Toronto?
Or Calgary.
I don't think they're selling yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll hold out for it then. I'll wait.
You don't want Toronto anyway.
No, I don't.
No. Okay.
All right. Dustin, I think you're up next.
Right. It wasn't as crazy as last week. But I finally had my meeting with my federal MP.
How'd that go?
I mean, about as well as I anticipated. He made a point of reiterating that I am the person that he has seen the most over any issue in the entire time that he has been sitting as a federal MP, which I wasn't shocked. I recorded the whole thing. I haven't like cut through it yet, but it'll be an entertaining watch to show folks at some point. I might either cut it and post it or post it in its whole. But yeah, I mean, it was literally just you did this thing. It has affected me and my community. A lot of folks don't know. I had just the startings of a like art gun business. I was making some pretty colorful GATs for a second. And that was another thing I was trying to spool off of my business, but I was focused on handguns. So that stopped when handguns stopped. So I just, made a point to, give him a hard time about, saying he's pro-business, but destroying businesses and, point out some other hypocrisies. But that's a conversation for another day. Beyond that, didn't do a whole lot. I sorted a bunch of brass from the range trip that we did the other week because there was a lot there. and then on Sunday, I took the boyfriend out into the bush. He came kicking and screaming, but he came.
And that's the main thing.
Yeah, we did a little 22 shooting and then came back in time for me to do D&D with my friends. And that is also gun-related because I play an artificer who casts spells through firearms. And that is... awesome. I'm a giant nerd in all facets. But yeah, that's literally all I did gun-wise this week. Pretty basic.
Casting spell with a firearm. Isn't that just pulling the trigger?
Well, it's a whole thing. I've created these like spell guns, kind of. One's a cantrip pistol that's very cool. I have some art for it.
What's the word for it? Kraut space magic?
I don't what?
Not HK. Like, that's HK.
Yeah, HK, right? Yeah. Heckler does cope. Oh, what's the other question I wanted to ask? I forgot from your previous interview that who is your current sitting MP?
That'd be Terry Beach. I definitely gave him a hard time about, the fact that he's probably not going to be my elected official before very long.
Longer.
Yeah. Excellent.
I'm guessing he was the NDP.
No, he's liberal.
He's liberal. Okay.
Yeah, he's been sitting there for 9 years, and he and I have a weird relationship because, like, he was a little bit younger when and he was an entrepreneur beforehand, and we both strangely bonded over that. Because when I was doing like the heavier part of my like firearms advocacy when C-71 came out, and like I brought a whole bunch of federal MPs to the gun range, and like that was a whole thing. He was one of them.
That's cool.
Yeah, so he's been dealing with me for years. But anyway, we've got like a weird, you know, thing. He knows who I am, but I'm also probably the only blue haired dude that he sees on any kind of regular capacity. So
mm-hmm. That helps. Cool. Yeah. Self memorable.
Most folks know who I am. Anyway, who's next?
Kelly.
So I haven't been on in a couple of weeks. I've done a couple of things. So the last thing that I don't think I've talked about was the Lady Seed that was happening up in Collingwood. That was pretty awesome, actually. So we had 13 people signed up for it. It wasn't sold out. However, that being said, we had 10 people show up on the day, and it was 7 degrees, and it was pouring the whole entire day. And Perfect. The ladies had a lot of fun. So they were troopers. I heard the words, "I'm not quitting. You can't quit."
We all suffer together, damn it.
Yeah. So we were motivating each other, you know, motivational talks, inspirational talks. And yeah, it was lots of fun. As I said, I learned, I packed 3 sets of clothing, including rain gear, which is no longer water resistant. You know, when they say water resistant, it doesn't mean it's waterproof. Mm-hmm. And then when the water resistant coating on it goes, it's no longer water resistant. It's just actually a soaking mess. So when that happened, so going to Collingwood, what I typically do is, because I hate driving up with my trailer up the 400, Dave, you can acknowledge, just shake your head up and down. Driving up the 400 on a Friday night is just ridiculous, correct?
It is. It is. As we used to say, retarded, but we can't say that anymore.
So. Correct. So I get up and I leave at 2 a.m. So I leave Kingston by 3 o'clock. That means I'll get into Collingwood by, you know, 7 a.m. We can set up. We shoot throughout the day. And then I get into my car. Typically, we'll have a dinner after the shoot, and I'll get in my car, and I'll travel home. And by the time I get home, it's usually about 1 o'clock in the morning. So it's a really good 23-hour day of driving and shooting.
You know, you're always welcome to just come crash at my place.
I know.
That is, you're
always welcome. I love that about you.
And I'm literally on your way through to go to the 401.
I did wave at you. I went, as I drove past. But I had to be up for 8 o'clock in the morning. Well, technically I had to be up before that because I had to be at the range for 8 o'clock in the morning because we were doing the handgun club level ATT course. So we had 5 people that attended that. I helped with that and took people in and got them all set up and shooting. The really good thing is that all of them qualified in the first 10 rounds, and I'm going, thank God. Really good shooters, but there was people there that were good friends, but they were also part of people not so good friends. I don't know them, but they were asking about getting their probation shoots done. So they brought everything that they needed, and I said, sure, I'll do it. So I hung out at the range for another couple hours and took people through their probation shoots. One of the things that I got to do that was a lot of fun, though, was I got to because when we do our handgun APT course, it's indoors and we just shoot, whether it's 9mm, they can bring their 9mm or their 45s, whatever. And then they, I also bring a 22 because if they can't qualify on their gun, they're sure as hell going to qualify in the Smith & Wesson Victory, right? So, with the people that wanted to do the probation shoots, I took them outside on one of the rifle ranges and they did rifles, but they also did handgun outside. And then I took them back on the inside and got them to take me through the indoor range and signed off on them. So they were able to sign off on the probation shoot, but I got to shoot too.
Yay. So,
cool. I got to shoot Desert Eagle in 357. It was fun.
That is a fun gun to shoot. It's a ridiculous gun, but it's fun.
Absolutely. And he bought two of them because of the...
Because dual wielding?
Because of C-17. Yeah. So, got to shoot that. It was fun. What else? So, I then prepared. I did a Maple Seed call with the shoot bosses. Then I went and prepared for my travel to Alberta. So last Thursday, Kelly Kincaid and I, so the Kellys, we invaded Alberta. It was fun. So we got up super early, duper early in the morning, and we flew out on Porter. By the way, I'm wholeheartedly endorsing Porter Airlines. They arrive on time. They feed you. They provide drinks. And it was an enjoyable experience. I had lots of leg room, and I didn't have to sit around any children. Nice. By the way, I am advocating for adult-only flights. Just saying. So I arrived in Alberta at a really decent time. Picked up the rental car. When I got there, we were so excited because they're going, "Do you guys want a truck?" And we're going, "Oh yeah, we're in Alberta. We're getting a truck." So we got our truck, and then we checked into the hotel. And then on Thursday night, we got a chance to meet up with Adriel. We got to meet up with a couple other people too, like Tom Ockenorth and Delinda Reynolds, who was putting on the lady seat. She is the CEO of... Wasn't she supposed to be on tonight?
Deerwood Park Fish and Game Association. Yes, actually.
And it's her birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next week.
Yeah, we'll put her on next week. It's her birthday today. Anyway, so just a shout out to her. She's having a birthday. So she is the CEO of Sherwood Fish and Game. As soon as I said her name, wasn't she supposed to be on tonight? We had invited her. Oops. So hung out with her. I hung out with a couple other people. I had a really, really fun time. Thank you to Adriel, by the way, for providing us with alcohol this weekend. He brought some of his homemade wine. It was delish. Friday went down to Calgary. So yes, Tony, we did go down to Calgary.
I'm disappointed. I know that for a fact.
Yeah. So we went down for lunch. We had lunch with J.R. Cox from the Shooting Edge. And then we went over and shot guns at the Shooting Edge on.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really nice of JR to do that. He said, "Come on over, let's shoot some guns. It's on me." And we're going, okay. So yeah, we went to their indoor range. We were able to shoot a Pro Heb. I'm just gonna say, I think that they trusted us with that because Kelly and I are on the range normally. I'm just gonna say. We had a really fun time. So we shot the Tink Arms, the X16. So Prohib, yeah. But they have Prohib guns there that you can shoot.
The horror.
I know, right? So it was chambered in.
They also have Prohib guns in their storage.
Thousands of puppies.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Fun. I hope you feel bad.
So, as I said, Kelly and I, we were able to shoot some guns set. That you can't really shoot unless they're, I don't know.
Business owned.
They're business owned, right.
Yes.
Dustin's so that, like, yeah. I gotta shoot them every day.
No, I wish.
So we went back up to Calgary. Arrived late at night and went to bed. Edmonton. And then Edmonton. Sure.
You drove by Tony's place too and waved as you went past, right?
Gave him the finger.
I waved. I didn't know where you live. I would have waved. We did actually get back late on Friday night. Saturday morning, we got up nice and early. so whenever Kelly and I drive together, we factor in our lost time because usually we're talking to each other. We're not paying attention to anything. And we miss a couple of turnoffs here and there. So we also did that on Saturday morning. Going out to Sherwood Park, which is about 45 minutes from the hotel, and we took us an hour. We actually
should be
got
less. Should be less.
Should we got lost on the actual range as well? Because in starting turning down where the range is, we took a detour through the campground. It was quite lovely. We saw people out and having a fire for breakfast.
Waving on your way by. Hi. We don't know where we are.
Was Adriel camping that weekend too or no?
No.
Oh, what? disappointed. I thought he was on the range for both days.
No one else was camping. I was there. I was doing a PAL course. I wasn't doing a maple seed on the Saturday.
I know that.
So we had a couple of people show up at the maple seed who were on Adriel's course, and it was quite cute. One little old lady. I thought we were shooting, or we were doing it indoors. I said, "What are you doing?" She goes, "Well, of course." I said, "Are you doing the PAL, the license course?" "Yes." I said, "Yeah, that's indoors." "Oh, well, thank God," she says. And so we sent her over to Adriel, but we had a full line on the Saturday, and it was lots of fun. We had lots and lots of instructors, so it was really nice to see. The Alberta instructors are top notch. They know their points of instruction. And it was a lot of fun. It was interesting to see the commonalities and the differences between Alberta and Ontario. We're pretty much 90% the same.
I'd say like 95. Like if you went to one on one day and then you went to another one on the other day, you would think like, this is the same course I'm getting.
It is.
Except it feels more free in Alberta, and I can't figure out why.
We did say that.
More enterprising and corporate. And
however, Tom was talking about those commie bastards, and I'm going, "You can't say that every time he's Tom, you can't say that." And then we had Fedor, who is Russian, and he was talking about, and I said, "You can't say that." And I'm going, "Kelly, you need to relax." And I did. Alberta is much more relaxed than us uptight Ontarians, I just have to say.
I have a remarkable number of people that come out to our range that I will talk to who have immigrated here from communist countries who have many things to say about how things are going here and how concerned they are.
Neither confirm nor deny that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Concern.
So Saturday, lovely. We had three riflemen, one repeat, two that were brand new, two from the same family, and I'd love to see them come and join us as part of the crew, instructor crew. But one of the best things ever was I got a message on the Friday from one of our listeners, Nate. He's listening right now, and he said, "I couldn't come last night." He goes, and he left me his phone number, and we were calling him on the way back from Calgary. I missed an exit because I was talking to him, I have to say.
You need a chauffeur. I was supposed to come out with you, actually, now that I think about it. But
and but Nate was the RSO at Sherwood Park on Saturday, and he stopped by. And it was such a joy to meet this man. He is amazing, and he volunteers a lot of his time. He's Adriel's neighbor. He's super friendly, and he does a lot for the shooting community. So he's listening. I just want to say hi. And it was so incredibly great to meet him. And it was nice for him to message me to say, "Here's my phone number. Give me a call." So Sunday was the lady shoot. So it was the lady seat. I have to tell you that Alberta weather is much better than Ontario. It was 30 degrees last weekend. Not the weekend that just happened, but the weekend before, and sunny. And then by the time that Kelly and I got there, it was 19 degrees and overcast. And there was rain on the Saturday at the end. But on the Sunday, it was 18 degrees and 19 degrees. And it was sunny all day. Not a drop of rain for the ladies. It was like diametrically opposed to the weekend before here in Ontario, where it was 7 degrees and you could see your breath and it was raining all day. So they had a much better shoot. It was much, the participants were much happier as well. They weren't miserable and being rained upon. But one of the best Women's Day that I've had. And it was a lot of fun. So I just wanted to thank all of the Alberta instructors for all their hard work. Especially we had two female instructors that did a lot of the POIs, most of the POIs, which are point of instruction on the Sunday. So we had Jennifer and Shirley that did the brunt of that, and they did fantastic. And then we had Adriel, and Adriel, I'm going to just say, Adriel was the guy that we called upon for everything. If something needed to be done, Adriel goes, I'll do it. And he truly is he was my right-hand man, I think, on Sunday especially. So thank you for that. And then on
you
Monday,
had like three right hand men on. Yeah,
that's
like,
true. Tom yeah, was Kelly. As well, Tom. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. It was a lot of fun. I just have to say, it was a really good shoot. On got out done. I went to dinner. Had then drove over to our hotel, which was in Leduc, right beside the airport. So it was easy peasy, lemon breezy to get up at 4 a.m. and get to the airport by 5, and then fly back to Ontario. And I got in at a reasonable amount of time, so 6 o'clock, and I was able to get on an instructor call. It was like I just had one of these last week, but we had an instructor call last night. And then yesterday evening we had She Shoots, and we did the podcast for that. We had to delay it a week. We postponed it, so we did actually have that. And it was Colleen Piper was on, and she's from the Bullet Shop, and she came on talking about remanufactured bullets and their little company that's in Alberta. She's a delight, by the way, and she's an IPSC shooter, and she got into it because she needed more ammo for IPSC. And so why not, if you're going to make ammo, why not actually have a business?
Surprisingly, that's how most businesses start.
Yeah. Delightful lady, truly. And then the more she talked, the more questions I had about, okay, can you tell me about, and then like we sent her the list of questions beforehand, and it just went this way and this way. So we did that last night. If you haven't had an opportunity to go and listen, just have to. And had a call with the directors on Maple Seed tonight about a couple of things, and then I got on the show. So every night I've been doing something with guns or gun related. I got to shoot, I got to instruct, got to fly across the country, got to meet some of the best people in the world that I have only talked to virtually. But then I also got to see some of my most favorite people, like Adriel and Tom. Well, not well, Tom. Well, that's debatable. Anyways. To listen to this.
Hey, what?
Tom's now screaming at his screen going, what the hell? What'd I do?
Again, like we got to meet Nate. He was like, that was one of my highlights. We got to go and talk to J.R. Cox. He's one of my most favorite people. He's really into supporting the CCFR, really into supporting women, getting them into shooting. And we got to shoot his guns as well. So it was nice. Oh, the other thing that I did was I went and met up with Deneen Tomlin, who is one of the co-hosts on She Shoots. She's also part of Lady Gun. Went and visited her at her new homestead, which is absolutely breathtaking. And I'm so happy for her. And it was great to see her because it's been a while since I got to see her too. So, and that's it. I think that's pretty much it that I've done. Yeah.
Cool. So. All right. I'll do mine. Pal Maple Seed with the Kellys. So the Saturday there, I was doing a PAL course also at Sherwood Park. Mine went quite a bit later than the Kellys' Maple Seed. So I wasn't able to hit dinner with them, but I got on to the second day there. Did the Lady Seed. It was a great time. Outside of the weekend, I ordered a firing pin for the High Point, and I am going to be filing back that mag. Well, I took a look in there and I'm like, it's going to happen. So waiting for that firing pin. So Safari Land doesn't really have very good Canadian, support for Canada. So I feel okay showing this. This is a knockoff, GLS that you can get off AliExpress, and it's a 15.
No way.
And, works.
What's the retention like?
Uses the little, like, that guy.
The button? Push button?
Yeah, the button.
Nice.
Is it, like, durable? Can you throw it on the ground? Will it break?
Yeah. No. No.
No. That must have been one they beat the kid properly to make sure that it was a good one.
This is my second one. I have another one. I was like, you know what? I should get another one of those things. So I was ordering some other mag pouches, also from AliExpress.
Safari Land.
Yes, Safali Land. What does it actually say on it? Oh, nothing. There are no markings on it, but it's got the Safari Land clip there from their 579, I believe. And I do believe that screw pattern is the same as a QLS. So, yeah, I bet you they make them in China, and some guy just be like, hey, can I see those molts for a bit?
Yeah.
Let's crank out a bunch
of
them. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Last week I ordered, an order from Tenda, and there was a really cheap Wheeler digital fat wrench in there. These things are usually like $100 and I got it for 30.
Nice.
I didn't look really closely. What? It was on clearance. I didn't look very closely. It was on clearance 'cause it was broken. But
can you fix it?
It's fixed.
Yay.
How did you fix it?
Yeah.
Oh, you got a digital one. Look at you, Mr. Fancy.
Digital. Now I know the insides of it very well because I got right up in there to try to figure out what was wrong. Yeah.
What was the problem?
The battery contacts are kind of look the same, and the person had mashed them the wrong way.
Okay. Oh, easy fix.
So it was connecting the wrong side to the wrong side, and then I reversed it. Now it's connected there. Now right it works. Way, so.
Nice.
$30 digital fat wrench. Don't mind if I do. Let's see. I got stripper clips. I got many stripper clips. This box was full. So I was going to buy some, and then I was like, oh man, it gets cheaper the more you buy. So I went on the local, like we have a signal group for the like 3-gun buy and sell. It's all guys who like buy lots of stuff. So I was like, hey, I'm going to, buy some stripper clips. Anyone want in on this? Let's do a big group buy and buy a whole bunch. Got up to 500. So that was 500 stripper clips. And like I used just while I was on the show so far, I've put 520 rounds of green tip on stripper clips. And I've got another 420 rounds of Frontier match that I'm going to put on stripper clips as well. Why put them on stripper clips? They fit more compactly. You can fit more rounds in a box. And when you go to load them, I use a strip Lula. All my mags are 10 rounds, right? They're LAR pistol mags. If they're empty, I take one of these and my strip Lula, fill it up, onto the next one. So it's super quick. In between stages, I don't like spending a lot of time bombing up mags. I want my mags bombed up quick so that I can get back in the headspace of what do I got to do for the next stage or what else do I got to do. So that's why I keep these things on stripper clips. And then I discovered that the plastic ones are also fairly cheap, and there's a Canadian company that sells them, but I already got the metal ones. I scheduled a whole bunch more PAL and RPAL courses, so added some more at Sherwood Park and added some more with Colin. So I'm going to be doing that 2 weekends a month for, I don't know, until Christmas. Just do a whole schwack load of them. I started an ad campaign for it, doing some digital ads, and yeah, my phone's been ringing off the hook. Got a whole bunch of people coming in for that, so... That is all going well.
Hey, what's your percentage of male versus female students?
You know what? For the Sherwood Park ones, because that's a lot of members. I'm just gonna like stereotype here. A lot of the members are male. They're getting a lot of their wives and kids to get their licenses, and that's literally what's happening for a lot of them. For some of them. They just want to get into it, and their parents, grandparents, none of them have shot before. They just want to try it. So the odd female will be like that. But a lot of my classes are half female male.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome.
Last one was 50%. Some of them aren't, some of them are a little bit more male dominated, but a lot of them are 50%. Yeah.
Good.
I like it. Yeah. I did a round inventory. So I was going through some of my ammo and my shelves over here. I'm like, oh man, this is such a mess. Like all my 223 is in separate boxes in separate places. That's it. Time to reorganize. So I reorganized, and while I was at it, I'm like, oh, you know what I should do? I should try to estimate how many rounds I got to see if I should buy some more or you know, what have you. So for some of them, like for my 7.62x39, it's all loose in a bin and I don't have enough stripper clips for that. So there's just a whole bunch in there. So I weighed like 20 rounds, weighed the box, and then estimated how many I had. And then I was like, if I'm doing this, I might just inventory everything. put in a spreadsheet, right? Because that's how I figure it should do.
Nice.
So I did that, and I don't really know if I like the results. Okay.
Is there a value calculation for that for insurance purposes?
I just to see like how my wife's not here.
Replacement.
So,
don't tell her.
Amy.
She's usually not a good idea.
Yeah, so 5.56. Yeah, I got quite a few of those. That's 2,500 rounds of that. The not green bad. Tip, I bought some when it was on sale, and then Dave, like, he's like, "Hey, I want to buy some of this green tip. You want to get it?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm gonna get some more of this guy too." So I got 5,000 rounds came from that. My Nork 308. Yeah, I still got plenty of that, which is good to know because my Garand likes to eat that kind of stuff. The orange shaded stuff. I don't even have guns that shoot that. And I got a couple of rounds like that.
I bet you we all have a few boxes in our safe somewhere that we just don't have the gun anymore. We picked it up accidentally, or somebody gave it to us.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Because my collection's too small.
Used to
400 rounds anymore. Of 38 special.
You got to bump up your 12 gauge numbers there.
Yes, I do. Yeah, rookie, not enough. Where's my target? That's not enough. That's not enough target load. I need more target load because that's that. Like all my three gun stuff, I need lots of it because I go through lots of it. Each match is like 100, 200 rounds of three different cartridges, right? So, yeah. I need more of that. 9mm, I think I'm good for that for now. I think I have enough rounds of 9mm.
6,000 rounds. Wow, that's a lot of hours.
That's the round nose, and I also have hollow point and factory. Yeah, so yeah, I think I've got enough of that. And then 223. I might need some more 5.56. That's because this is almost out, and that's almost out. And the green tip I can't really use for, at some competitions because they don't like it. They don't like the green tip.
But didn't you say you are not going to reload for 223 anymore?
Yeah, I'm going to buy it. I'm just waiting. I'll have to wait for a good deal, and then I'll just buy some more.
I suppose I have the winter press parts to come back, so I'll show you how to reload 223 properly.
Oh, you know what? I should commission you to reload some. I should, because I've got a bunch of bullets, brass, primers, and powder. Everything I need. I just don't want to put the time in, and I don't want to use my turret press for it. Anywho. Yeah, 7.62 by 39 looks like I'm good for that. 7.62 by 25, good for that. By 54, I don't really shoot a lot of Mosin or SVT 40, so that's probably enough of that stuff. 300 blackout, definitely got enough of that. 22, I think I need some more 22 LR. This is not enough. 4,700 rounds, not enough.
Burn that off in an afternoon.
Your fingers would be pretty tired.
Is the
need one of those crank loaders to get through that?
Is the not the Raven, the Lockhart belt fed 22 a thing yet? Or
oh yeah, maybe when that's a thing. Yeah. Anyways, that's $10,500 worth of ammunition. And then I updated my firearms inventory. And I was like, I don't think I bought that many since the last time I made this spreadsheet. And I am wrong. Yeah, I have, in fact.
Well, you bought guns for the course, so they're making money.
Yeah. Since
January, and somehow like your high point, not how high, yeah, the high point is still not in your, it's still not a course gun. What?
I tried to make it a course gun. The firing pin is the ejector. So I didn't know this because I'm stupid and I didn't take a look at it beforehand. I cut the firing pin off and then I go to use it for a PAL gun. It's like, it won't eject because the firing pin is also the ejector.
Why is the firing pin the ejector?
Because it's high point. Because it's high point, yeah.
We saved a nickel, boss. Good job.
A little stamped sheet piece of crap, just like kicking stuff out. Nope. Let's just reuse this other thing and use the sear as this like thing that's going to hold it.
The worst thing ever. Who did that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a great idea.
No, it's a terrible idea.
It's funny because that's how I started watching Grandstone videos, because when I was doing my PAL course, my instructor mentioned and asked us, say, if you want to see something real funny, watch the grandson video on the High Point carbine. And after people have analyzed, who are High Point, I don't know, High Point cope or owners mentioned
aficionados,
that.
Can use, I guess, aficionados.
They mentioned that that's probably what broke on it. That's why he can't fire anymore, nor eject. So that's what gave it such a bad review, just because it broke one part, but that one part served two purposes.
That's correct. Yeah,
and he crapped on it pretty hard, and you know, rightfully so. I think, like, anyways, the High Point reviews that I found online were either like really, really critical or really not critical. There's like no middle ground. So
I will say that with a High Point, I will give them this. You get what you were paying for. So you cannot complain.
Correct.
Certainly wouldn't be the sort of gun you would want to put your life on the line with.
Are you, though? No. If you look at the prices of Kel-Tec sub 2000 in the States, it's like not that much more.
Yeah.
I haven't even broke mine.
That's the difference between getting trash and getting mid-range. There's usually not that much. Well, there's usually not that much of a price range between complete trash and works most of the time. Is okay for most things. Not professional use. Don't put your life on the line, but it'll work most of the time for whatever. Sort of like a WK-180, right? It's $1,000. Well, no, I guess they're like $1,300.
It's like $13.
Now. I think the high points are more reliable than WK. Anyways, so I did a round inventory. And then this weekend, I have a private RPAL course I'll be doing. So.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Should be fun. Sub 2000 and 5.7. That will be the first time I've looked at a sub 2K for a long time as a viable gun.
Yeah. Did everyone get a chance to talk?
No. Kyle didn't talk.
Kyle didn't.
Kyle, go ahead.
Okay. So the roller delay buffer came in.
Ooh.
Got that put on.
Oh.
And it drops soft. Like,
cool.
Like you basically.
Oh. Wow.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. It's a super light recoil spring that they sent with it. Got it out to the range last night. Played around with it. They say give you a setup to do in 100-round break-in. The break-in with like a heavy and a weak spring was pretty darn good. But after the initial break-in, got playing around with it. And it's going to take a bit of time just to dial it in. Probably set up some slow-mo video and dial it in. I'm also going to short-stroke it, so my bad lever is not going to do anything. I'll end up taking that off because, yeah, I'm going to short stroke it. And while I had it apart, I had an Ergo PCC bolt sitting in the drawer that I had picked up at a match and figured I'd start comparing bolts and playing around. So the factory bolt that came in my PCC was 14 5/8 ounces. The Ergo, which was identical, was 13 5/8 ounces.
A whole ounce.
Yep. And then I pulled the weight out of the bolt. Oh, the Ergo. So this bolt in here I'm running is 11 ounces right now.
And how heavy is your buffer?
It's super light. But like Taylor was saying when we were talking about it, with the roller delay, that lets you run a super light bolt. So I might talk to Ergo about further lightening a bolt just because we can.
So your whole reciprocating assembly is under 1 pound right now for sure.
Oh yeah. They were under one. Well, the bolts to start were, because, you know, 13, 14 ounces. But I would say it is. Yeah. Cause the buffer doesn't weigh much, but like right now I have 3 heavy springs. Like I said, I got to play around with it, probably get some slow-mo video instead of just going by feel. But I was able to put down, like I set up a piece of steel at like 10, 12 yards, and I was able to do, I didn't have a shot timer, but I had pretty good double taps on there, probably about 15, 17 splits on that. So that was, yeah. Also put in my I had shown it, and it's black, so it doesn't show up that great, but my anti-rotation pins, and so yeah.
Can you rack that that thing again?
Just
well, that is the one thing with the pulleys. It is tough to start, but when you're actually on the range, it doesn't. So yeah, I gotta bypass the pulleys and it's pressure in the slots in the buffer is what creates that delay,
right?
And what allows you to run the lighter bolt. Because as far as I understand it, the reason why you need to run such a heavy reciprocating system is because of the direct blowback and creating the delay there.
Yeah.
While where you get the rollers, so now you can run light and run a light reciprocating mass, which should be easier to tune, less jarring. That's my theory, and we'll see if I'm right.
And you did say that the gun shoots lighter, right? You don't have that big.
It is not bouncing a lot, and... Yeah, before it would bounce. Now I'm getting the more traditional, just a little bit up to the right. Hmm. But yeah, even like with a 3-pound trigger, as I'm listening to Timney and not putting one of my fancy triggers in this, just running their standard PCC trigger. Yeah, I was. Next time I go, I'll actually bring out a shot timer. But I figure I was running about 15, 17 splits on that, and it was hitting. I had nice gray spot on the target. It was pretty good. Now, like, you gotta just
that is so freaky.
In all fairness, I do need to clean this a bit, but like the first shots, I was like, wow, that is slow. And if I let it go slow, it won't go into battery. You basically rack it from the back. With the short stroke, I'm probably going to play with getting a little bit more pressure on that recoil spring. They do have a spring kit that I could buy to really play with the different weights of the recoil spring as well. But I might just, if I'm short stroking it anyways, I might play around with short stroking it inside the spring and then also building up the back of the spring just to compress it a little bit more, put a little bit more tension on it. But I could see, yeah, definitely there's going to be a lot of playing and tweaking and trying stuff out on this.
So that's like an open gun.
Yeah.
That's freaky weird. I'm kind of actually genuinely creeped out by that bolt not going.
It is very strange.
Oh, yeah. And weird. Every time I loaded a mag, it's not like hammering forward. Wow.
It's like for the listeners, if I have my K9 here, which I don't, but... if I lock it back and I drop the bolt on it, the whole, even with an 18-inch heavy barrel, the whole gun would jump upwards just because how heavy the whole assembly is.
Well, yeah, and this is my AR with the unrivaled buffer, and it's...
There we go. Yeah,
okay. That's what you more expect.
The universe is back how it should be. That's good. Thank you.
So, Kyle, you still... definitely got to do some more colors on that PCC. We got
to... Yes. I am going to reach out to Ergo, and I have some grip panels that I also run on my rifle, the Ergo grip panels, but I have like Tiffany, gray, and black.
No.
I want red because I'm already going with red. I got the red grip. The bad lever is going to be gone because I'm not going to need it once I short stroke it, but yeah, I got to... Once I get it too, and then we'll play with the looks.
Excellent. I can't wait to see it. I love a good...
I mean, playing with the looks a little bit, but then it'll be, okay, what is the scheme on this?
Excellent.
And I was looking at dots because, if you recall, after my last match at Roswell, this cheap $75 dot kind of does not want to work for me.
Why do you have a $75 dot?
Because I was trying to channel my inner Adriel and it did not pay off. I was at a gun show. He said it was $75. I can burn $75 just to see how big of a piece of crap this is. Which initially I was actually quite impressed that for $75, that's what I got. Until I go to replace batteries and contacts are really finicky. And even then, that dot's been off basically since Roswell the odd time. And that battery is already like really dim. So it's not a long lasting dot. So I got looking and I bought a new dot. Now, for reference, I'm going to hold up a Bluepool Delta Point Pro. There's the Delta Point Pro. And this is the dot she told you not to worry about.
Oh, wow.
So, well, wearing a lighter shirt. Yeah. So, you got Delta Point Pro. And this, it's an Athlon. It is the Midas LE Gen 2. And overall impressions, I like the size. I'll show the reticle here. So, make sure I can actually figure out how to do it on camera. There it is. So you have a choice of three reticles. Yeah. You can do the circle, the dot, or the, like I'm showing here, the circle with the dot. So initial impressions, had it outside. It does seem bright enough. I wish it went a little bit brighter, but I mean, it was super sunny out today, held it off the back porch and it seemed fine. I do wish it gave you an indication when you were at your brightest level, because it, you will just sit there hitting plus and nothing's going to happen. Another thing I noticed, and maybe it's just because of the glass, but the parallax is pretty severe. We'll see how it gets on the range.
Oh, interesting.
But that got me looking at my other dots, including the Delta Point Pro, the EOTech EFLX. So both higher end dots. Like I was looking, the Delta Point Pro is selling for around 500 US. The EFLX is like 375. This was 370. Well, this is MSRP 375. I got it on Amazon for 250. But yeah, checked every dot, even the blue pulled, RDS. So the tube red dot, they all have parallax. I hadn't noticed it before, but they all have parallax. The only dot I own, so the RDS wasn't severe. Like I would have it on a doorknob and moving around, it wouldn't actually leave the doorknob. So that was probably the best for dots that had parallax. The EFLX and Delta Point Pro were, like, obviously bigger glass. This was the worst for the parallax, which, yeah, it kind of surprised me. But the only dot that I own that doesn't have parallax is this $75 El Cheapo.
Nice.
That is the only, I went through every dot that still has glass in it, because the Bushnell doesn't have glass to test that with. But, every dot that I own, except for the $75 El Cheapo, has parallax. So I'll get it mounted and I'll get it to the range, get running it, and we'll see, because it's something I had never noticed running the Delta Point Pro. I hadn't noticed it on the EFLX, but I wonder with the bigger glass, if I'm going to notice it, or if I have to really get looking for a new dot.
On a PCC, I don't think you're going to see much.
I just don't want the target to distort as I'm coming into it. Right? So,
that's fair.
I mean, it's close distance. It's inside the house on a doorknob. So I got to get out to the range and really see. But I think if you got that much parallax at that close distance, I'm a little nervous. We'll see. Parallax and dots is something I actually had never really looked at or concerned. I'd put it up, shoot. Okay, cool. But yeah.
Occurred to me that would be a problem with a red dot, because it's not magnified. Yeah. So
yeah, well, when I put it up there and I'm holding it on the lamp, on a lamp in my living room, and it's distorting. Okay. And so yeah, started looking deeper into it, and yeah, it's a thing.
Interesting.
So yeah, I'll do some playing with that over the next while, because yeah, I want to get this thing. It won't be I don't think it'll be 100% dialed in, but you know, with sectionals coming up in, I don't know, 3 weeks time now. Yeah. I want to get the short stroke, the buffer tuned for the short stroke might not be 100% tuned, but at least get it done. See if that, hopefully that optic is going to work for me. I really hope it will, but, I gotta get out to the range and test that. Other than that, that's what I've done in guns this week.
Pretty awesome.
I want to show this. I was just looking around for red dots and parallax, and I found a study here that shows between different testers how much parallax they perceive with some different dots.
Okay.
And yeah, there's a pretty big difference. Looks like the hollow, like the EOTEX are really good for that. I've heard that they're but, the holographic.
So with the EOTEX, like the big EOTEX, or is that what, or is just EOTEX in general?
The EXPS would be the holographics. Yes.
Yeah.
The holographics. I really got to get one on with a fresh battery and have a look, because it's like the Vortex Huey. I did not like the graininess of the reticle. I like a nice crisp. Have
a look that I would describe to be like, if you zoom real into,
it's like very pixelated. Photo,
yeah, you have like a broken glass shard look to it. It's interesting.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. I take the trade off of it observes very little streaking to my very astigmatized eyes. So to me, yeah, it's still a clearer picture than a traditional red dot. But
right.
Strike fire, fast fire, Comp M2 Pro. Yeah.
But yeah, because I kind of looked at those, but I remember Buddy had one, but he said his battery was weak, but I'm like, well, it's still very pixelated. I remember looking through a Huey, very pixelated, was not impressed with that. And, you know, maybe I just got to learn how to shoot that. But I do like a nice crisp dot, even though I should be more target focused.
I can't see a crisp dot anyway. So I've lost that battle.
Well, then the $75 scope is perfect. Save some money.
Well, if it would actually, you know, change a battery and reticle would come on. I've changed out the battery numerous times the day in Roswell, shot a stage without a dot, and finally got the dot to come back on. So
yeah.
And that's where it was like, okay, no, I'm not fighting with this anymore.
Yeah.
Just need a new dot, missing, but not, didn't want to spend a fortune. So
you're missing backup iron sights on your PCC.
I'm not going to do backup iron sights on the PCC. I'm going to do the 45 dot because in USPSA I can without it's just
fair.
PCC. It's not like 3-gun where if I put a 40, I'd have a 45 degree dot on my rifle if it didn't put me in open.
You should put both on 45 because degrees.
If I go to open now, the cost of my guns just tripled.
like the cost of your gun hasn't already tripled with that roller delayed.
like that
we know what that costs.
Yeah, and I worked it out. I've actually before the dot, I'm basically at the cost of the gun in accessories.
Yep. I believe that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Trigger.
Well, I told him just put the basic stuff in it when he built it for me, and you know, and he did, and I immediately tore out a lot of the basic stuff.
Gotta go fast.
Well, yeah,
go faster.
I still gotta want to talk to Timney and find out why they don't want me to put in a normal AR trigger in there, because if it is the violence of the bolt, then I have a case that, well, I've tamed this down a lot. Maybe I can get away with putting a DH3 in this thing. And then go from 3 pounds to a pound and a half with like next to no travel.
Yeah, it might not bump fire too, because now with that roller, like one of the
issues. Well, yeah, it's not as violent, not shaking the gun around. Because I remember when I first put the Kelvin Elite in there, it was real easy to bump fire because of how violent that bolt, that recoil was.
Yeah.
But yeah, cool. Just another toy to play and tune and throw money at.
As is our people's tradition.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just recently replaced you're talking about batteries and replacing them. I just recently replaced mine in my Caldwell earmuffs, and they've had the same AAAs in there, two AAAs since the start of the year.
Nice.
No, sorry, not Caldwell. My 3M, my Peltors.
Yeah, not the Peltor. My my Caldwells treated me quite well until after about the year mark. Mm-hmm. Now they started to chew through batteries. I don't know why.
They have a short in there. Something.
I was going to say.
Maybe. Maybe.
That's all that chews up batteries, really.
Yeah.
My
component failing.
I've had, I can't remember what they are. They weren't incredibly expensive, but I just got a good pair of electronic hearing protection years ago that it's just been reliable. Wonderful. I did put the squishy, wonderful ear cups on them several years ago. Even those are wonderful. Nice. Yeah, the gel cups. That makes all the difference. I have a couple of pairs, like one set that doesn't have the gel cups. Those are for guests. And then this.
It was mine.
Yeah.
See, I like my Axel in-ears because I put them in their storage case and they're always at full charge when I go to the range because the storage case is a battery.
I want to get myself a couple sets of those.
They go on sale all the time. I'm getting emails all the time of them going on for sale for like 50% off.
Again.
Because you're in the States.
Yeah. The one
50% off is still 50% off.
Yeah, they'll run them like that in Canada too.
Yeah, every once in a while I get notifications of sales. Again, just, you know, this particular point in my life financially, I'm operating with the things that I have. It's the same with, like, I haven't done an ammo inventory, partially because I don't want to know how much I've consumed, because I've been shooting through
how much
hole.
Is depleted.
Like, I'll refill what I can with reloading, but, like, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I recently did an ammo inventory, and I went, oh, I found ammo. Look at that.
Cool.
Yeah, me too. I found a bunch of 9mm. I didn't know I had like 500 rounds.
Yeah, so you never know.
Do this. My ammo's all in one spot, and I just know.
How big is your spot? You have like a house just for your ammo?
No, it's like not enough ammo. Maybe that's the problem.
I have some industrial shelving for my ammo, and I was the epitome of buy it cheap, stack it deep when I had tons of money and no responsibilities. And, you know, I've been enjoying
funny
that
how
now.
That changes, right?
I used to do that, too. And the thing about ammo is it doesn't get any cheaper. So if you have money, buy as much as you can afford because it ain't getting any cheaper.
Yep.
And it doesn't go bad.
No.
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 No. It's be good for the next 100 years.
Nope. You're not allowed to say that. Not in front of
I've got to go shoot this ammo. It's, looks it's like expired. The expiry date's up.
Expiry date.
Wasn't there like some, Greek M1 ammo that somehow goes hotter over the years and to a point of unsafe to shoot or something? I remember there was a story about it.
I mean,
well, there's some ammo that
deteriorating.
Yeah, if the powder's deteriorated, maybe.
It can be weird and consistent pressure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've heard some old cordite
stuff. I'm going to forge this. Let's get this boat going forward. Upcoming events.
Sorry, one second before you do. I just want you guys to think about this because we don't have an official topic. I propose that all of you think about, just take a look to your left. On the screen. Okay, so I see. Oh my God, why did it? Okay, so for instance, I'm looking at Kelly. Dave, well, you've got to look up at Kyle and so on. I want you to think about what gun does that host embody? Just think about that.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Unless you come up with something better, I'm going to ask this question after we're done with upcoming events in the news.
Adriel's a Kel-Tec. I'm just going to say that right now. Adriel is
so you
like
said Dave had Adriel to my left.
Is no, Dave Adriel. Dave should have you. Dave should have Kyle. Kyle, you should have Adriel. Adriel,
no, we're all in.
Tony,
no, I think that the order is dynamic.
Let's just do a committee. We'll do a committee.
Yeah, okay, great.
Decision by committee works every time, right?
Yeah, what could go wrong?
That's why we have the committee rifle.
That's how we get platypuses.
Okay, upcoming events. Kyle, do you want to read the 3-gun matches coming up?
Sure. So in a couple weekends, got the MP3G team match on September 28th, 29th in Peace River. I'm pretty sure you can still get into that one. October 5th, Chaz 3-gun. October 19th, Sherwood Park Multigun. And November 2nd, Sherwood Park Multigun. And November 9th, Chaz 3-gun. So, all those except for Mighty Peace is on Practice Score.
Cool. Kelly, do you want to do Maple Seed? Do you want me to do it?
You do it.
I got it. September 22nd, Lone Butte. That's women only. That's in BC. September 28th, you get your choice if you're in Alberta, Chaz. And then if you're in Ontario, well, there's a CFB board in one, but it's sold out. Get on the wait list. Get on the wait list. And then when we email you saying like, hey, we got this spot open, like reply and say like, hey, I want that spot.
There is lots of room for the September 29th known distance, but you have to be a rifleman. But if you are an Ontario rifleman, get your ass in your car, get over to Borden on the 29th, and come shoot 400 yards.
What? There'll be a lot of really cool people and me. So there's going to be Dave. There's going to be Rick.
Just you.
No, I said a lot of really cool people and me. Okay. So there's going to be Dave. There's going to be me. There's going to be Rick, who most people know. Brian Bolivar, who's been on the show several times. I was a host at one time. He's going to be there.
He's running the butts for us. So
he's running the butts.
Make butts jokes with Brian. Be awesome.
Yes. Yes, it will be.
So. Sporting Rifle's going to be there. Chris, he's going to shoot.
And then on October 5th, Cape Nova Rifle and Revolver Club, Nova Scotia. Also on the 5th, Stittsville, and the 6th, Stittsville.
Yep.
That's it.
Oh, I do want to talk about something that I haven't put in there at all. It's for the CCFR. It's EOSC, which is the Eastern Ontario Shooting Club. There is a Lady City that's going to be happening on October 5th. I will be there. You come out and join us. It's just been released. So if you're interested, email the show and I'll send you the link for it. Or you can actually go onto my my Facebook page, or you can go on to any of the CCFR pages as well. Go and register. It's for ladies only. Go and do it. And it's going to be lots of fun.
I have an event to talk about.
Okay. Go for it.
Cool. The ORA has a 1,000-yard steel challenge training match on October 6th at Borden. So that should be pretty cool. It's a coached training match. So it's practice, but that should be really good. And then we've got a short range practice on the 13th, and then we've got a service rifle match on the 19th, and we've got another precision rifle sniper match on the 20th. So the Ontario Rifle Association is shooting right up until early November. Go check out the website, OntarioRifleAssociation.ca.
Cool. Tony, do you want to talk about this BTSA one last weekend?
So since everyone's talking about everything into the winter, I guess I should do that too. September 29th, probably the last 8-stage weekend steel challenge at the BTSA. Registration on practice score. And the next weekend, October 5th, I'll probably be there as well. USPSA match, official one. If you are shallow and vain like Tony, you want to level up your USPSA classification, or if you just want to come and compete and go through fault lines like no one's business, feel free. And last match of the year so far, at least, ASL Practical Rifle and PCC match hosted by Taylor, the PCC champion himself, November 3rd, 2024. All the registration on practice score under the BTSA Buffler Target Shooter Association page.
Cool. There's an event coming up at Chaz. So if you're in the Edmonton area, September 28th, they're running a sighting in clinic from 9 to 3. Non-members can shoot this too. So if you're sighting in your hunting rifle for the season, go do this. Don't go to Crownland or hope that you're going to sight it in the day before. Just go to this thing. For non-members, contact Sergeant at Arms. That's SGTAT Arms at historical-arms.com to register. Or go on the website and take a look at the calendar.
Sorry, I have to interrupt because Kelly was drinking water. My friend in Ontario notices this first, and he asked me to basically validate it. For some reason, Ontario water tastes terrible. It's like there's a specific heaviness to it.
It's pretty much any tap water.
No. It's bottled water, not tap water. That's the thing. If you buy Nestle bottled water in Western Canada, it tastes different from Nestle bottled water in Ontario.
Because it comes out of a tap.
Yeah, I was going to say they take it out of a different treatment system.
Nestle, I know, but it's just fascinating. And so my friend visited Michigan the first time.
Oh, don't drink the water. Which water in Michigan? You can't.
He drove 2 cases of water back home. because the water tasted different. Just yeah,
the water tastes Flint,
Michigan water.
Flint,
it's just like lead.
Yeah. Oh, Flint. Yeah. I did send out my package in Flint, so maybe that's why it got mixed up. But no, I didn't drink water in Flint.
I was talking about this past weekend. I stopped in Red Deer because that's where I lived previous in my history. And one of the things that I noticed when I moved there was the water had a very different taste. Also, it was very much, it had a very, yeah, it had a gross taste to it. So I think that you grow up with, or where you are, you get used to it. And then it just changes. But why are we a gun show when we're talking about water that tastes funny in different provinces?
You're taking us there right now. Anyways, move on.
You participated.
Into the news. This first bit, Canadian military Second World War pistols slated for destruction will instead be sent to Ukraine. So
we were going to throw these into a smelter, but here you guys can have them.
Canadian government, which usually gives crap to their just general line soldiers. Yeah, okay.
Well, they finally replaced them for Canadians.
Yes, that's what I mean. Soldiers. The stuff that they were, you know, and they were going to, yeah, that's not.
Saw some P-320s at the range 2 weeks ago, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't get it because saw this, like, this news of we can't have them. They're going to a smelter. Was like,
the government. The government can't get anything quickly. Those guns will probably not make it to Ukraine before the war is over.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know. We got them.
And if they do, do they really want them?
No, I don't think so.
They'd be like,
I want one.
So we're going to put these on the fridge.
You know what'll probably happen? Oh, Kate, I don't know if you guys know this, but most of our SKSs and most of our, like, our Soviet refurb stuff was actually coming out of Ukraine, not out of Russia. So this has the potential of coming back to Canada. They may not even use them. They're going to surplus them. They're going to store them, and then they're going to sell it back to us, and we're going to be able to buy those things.
You're right.
That's going to be exciting. I want one.
Right?
That is going to be hilarious, getting surplus pistols. Because, like, that used to be fun when, like, a big shipment of surplus pistols, whether it was Jericho's or something. Like, there's always something coming from somewhere. We're going to get a big pile of surplus Canadian pistols come from you. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Were they ever made in Canada, or are they Belgium made?
England.
No, they're made by the English
factory. Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And made by the Chinese as well. There's some Chinese ones in Canadian.
What?
Pretty funny. Yeah. Huh. They were supposed to go over to what the hell was it? They were here. They were stamped Chinese, I think, is the story. Because they were supposed to go over to one of the Chinese Revolutionary Armies, and then the communists took over. So we kept.
They were supposed to go to the KMT.
That is
supposed to go to the Kuomintang.
Funny.
There's actually some in inventory, and military guys once in a while will comment that, you know, they had a Chinese stamped Browning Hypar.
I want to see one. I don't recall there's any mention of high power pistol in, like, not as a, how do you say, film classic. Like, in the culture is always...
they didn't get there.
The Luger, but that's fair. The Luger, what's the one that you feed from Stripper Clip, the German one? The Mauser. The Mauser broom handles.
I'm pretty sure...
I don't even remember there's, like, a lot of 1911 mentions. I think
those are pretty rare. I can check that. I'm going to just check that.
The Luger is only famous because it's stupid and weird, and people are like, that's
okay,
cool.
Moving on. Lots of hosts, lots of talking. But maybe we'll get those back. Guns.com is leaving YouTube. Whose news piece is this?
So that's mine.
I just got to say one thing quick.
Of course.
Maybe we will end up getting some Ranger Enfields as surplus back in Ukraine. That would be cool.
That would be amazing.
Sorry. Next.
Tony, go ahead.
This is Ian McCollum from ForgottenWeapons.com. Today we're looking at a re-imported... So Guns.com is leaving YouTube. They did a YouTube video of their departure. I believe they're going to Rumble? But anywho, basically, well, they mentioned a specific case of them showing some really, really old pistols, like a century plus, and so those still got striked by YouTube. So
yep.
I think they're like 2 out of 3 at this point, so they're just not going to risk it. But that does not guarantee they will not get striked retroactively, which I believe YouTube does have a tendency of doing sometimes. So that's kind of up
there. Frequently. There.
But you're good to go to make your gangster rap videos where you're waving handguns around in cash. That's cool. So whatever.
Yep. Okay, cool.
You're muted, Dustin.
I didn't see what guns.com did before, so I'm not even aware of what the loss
is. Some stuff are new guns, some old. I think they're like a retailer and kind of historical mixed together. It's interesting.
It's the retail thing that's catching that's catching them the extra attention. So
yep.
Second assassination attempt on former president and presidential candidate. An AK type rifle is what I heard on the news.
Well, I'll play devil's advocate here. So the first photo that was taken, I'm not sure what's the source of it. I'm guessing some kind of operator went in and took this photo because the suspect fled. It was a really grainy photo. It was like the focus point was on the backpack that apparently he packed food and a backpack of ceramic tiles to maybe use armor. As a bullet, bullet shield of sorts,
kind of on the pathway,
on the like the chain link fence, and in the corner there is this rifle that you can't really see the butt end of. You can see there's somewhat of a banana mag, so 7.62-39, and only if you look pretty closely at the front, as in the front side block, the gas block, you would see that is SKS. It doesn't have the bayonet. Mm-hmm. So I'll say that's a excusable-ish mistake.
Everything's in the
I'm sure all the SKS people are like real happy.
Yeah, but for reference, my first sight, when I looked at it, I couldn't see the charging handle part, so I wouldn't know. So I mistaken it as an AK. I was like, oh, okay. So I wouldn't say that's the worst offense they've done.
No.
Dave, you just reminded me of something that was very funny. So you said everything's an assault weapon for them, and it is, right? When CBC, I was driving home from work the other day when the CBC was talking about this, and the host, whoever was talking about it, it was funny because there was this disconnect. He's been so trained in Canada with like the liberal talking points to say assault style weapon, but he's reading a thing and he stopped. He's like, assault weapon.
Weapon.
Like, he was just like, oh, I get to, the Americans called it an assault weapon. I get to call it an assault weapon. Like, he stopped himself before he said the thing he's been trained to say. Because,
that's funny.
Oh, it was very funny. I don't know. I just clicked in and laughed at that for a second. I was like, huh, that's very entertaining.
Well, nice. Despite being arbitrary, the United States do have a definition of it back in 94, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So at least that's something.
I must admit I laughed when I heard that it was an AK-style rifle. I was listening to an interview with a military guy, and he's from the States. He's like, he was 500 yards away from the president. He easily could have made that shot. And I'm like, good effing luck.
Probably not. That's what the sheriff department said, too. It's like, 400 or 500 yards, but with a scope like that, it's not that long of a distance. Nah. Like, my SKS shot like this.
Yeah, that's just it. It's an SKS. Yeah. Not really known for its accuracy.
Well, in the Chinese culture community, it's like the most accurate thing ever. Like, legit. Like, people say, oh, the Type 81 is terrible. You can, like, snipe someone from how long away was a Type 56. And there's a strange affinity of the Type 56 from, I guess, the older generation Chinese population. I guess some of them, it's like militia training involved. Some are previous military members. So I don't know, but there's a strange fascination with it, I guess.
Right. So the moral of the story is
don't try to assassinate former presidents with.
Do you think that the Secret Service has an issue now?
Don't try to assassinate them at all.
Well, that too.
For RCMP listeners, we are not recommending.
But certainly don't try to assassinate people. That's bad.
Yes.
But what a terrible gun.
But use the right rifle if you're going to. I mean,
don't. Again, that is not recommended.
This is purely for entertainment.
See, Kelly keeps us in check. But here's the thing about the whole gun talk. Yeah. Murder is illegal in North America. Don't do that.
Yeah, ever.
It have nothing to do with how you murder someone. Yeah. It's
but
always illegal
saying.
With a gun or not.
Do you think he is the most tried assassinated president, former president there is?
This is two
tries within
in the U.S.
Former
the US,
president.
Yeah. He's got a while to catch up with Castro.
Right.
Castro.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, you're right.
But I'm just saying within 30 days or whatever it was, right? 60 days. It hasn't been all that long. Secret Service not doing their job all that well.
They spotted the guy.
Spotted the guy, but
they didn't get
spotted him.
Yeah.
So. I think they were like
shot at him
in front. And
yeah, they shot
at the barrel, so to speak.
Yeah, they saw the barrel and shot at him. And
so, good thing a big improvement, in my opinion, over the previous.
What I loved is he took off on a bicycle.
I have to.
No, I thought he drove. I guess there's more missing for mixed information on that.
I'm just saying, every time he gets shot at, his approval rates go up.
Well, he's pretty hard to
kill.
Or just people are bad at it. I don't know.
People are bad at it. It's just nut bars that are.
Oh wow! It's just like, anyways. Again, this is purely entertainment.
Gerald Ford had two attempts. So I think Mr. Trump is tied currently.
Some additional information include. Yeah. The suspect is already a felon, and it's actually the lighter of his sentence that he is in possession of a gun that have a defaced serial number, because the higher sentence is he is a felon
nuts.
With a gun.
Like he's
had
nuts.
A couple of felonies earlier.
Yeah, there's a few things. He wanted to help Ukraine or something and got rejected. Yeah. There's also this morning a news about explosives around Trump's rally today, which does seem to be false at this point. So I guess there isn't a third attempt so far.
The problem the entire thing is that everybody has made him out to be, and don't get me wrong, I hate the guy. He's a douchebag.
Yep.
But when you literally make the guy out to be the next coming of Hitler and Satan combined, certain people are going to look at that and go, I got to stop this guy. Like, it is a moral obligation to do anything I can to stop this guy. So it's going to happen.
It's always the already mentally unwell, socially isolated folks that are, you know, vulnerable already, don't feel they have anything to lose. And that's a real shame. It's really sad that, you know, discourse has gotten to that point.
It is. It really is.
Anyway.
But not on Slamfire.
No. Politics?
Moving on. To by-elections. Whose news piece is this?
Oh, it's mine too. It's an awfully political show today. I'm sorry. So there was two by-elections on Monday. And the conservatives came close in Manitoba, which is, Elmwood, Transcona?
Yeah, they were 200 away.
Yeah, but the NDP still won that. But on the upset is Bloc managed to took a liberal stronghold in Quebec, which is some La Salle something all done, I think. Sorry.
Yeah.
French is really not my strong suit. And Pierre Poilievre has mentioned multiple times that the conservatives are going to raise a non-confidence at the earliest convenience, which I believe is next week.
Won't matter.
The Bloc's
looking at that blank check the liberals have, and they are going to make sure that they end up with a bunch of zeros on it before they call an election.
Quebec's going to do good in the next
year. I believe the Bloc has already did an official statement on it today saying they're...
Yeah.
Not going to support the conservative in that matter. So
well, the NDP doesn't have any money, And the block wants money. So we're not going to have an election until October next year. Like, it's just not going to happen. I don't There's no reason for anybody to do it.
It'll be spring. It'll be spring. The budget won't pass. It'll be spring. Everybody, you know, brace yourselves. Start saving money now. That's my prediction. Moving on. Not politics. Cool.
So we're bracing ourselves at work as well, so we know what's coming. So I do believe that we will have an election in 2025, whether it's in the spring or in October. We're going to be fucked.
It has to be.
Going to say.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Don't use pagers, folks.
Don't use pagers.
Don't use pagers. And it's funny. I see
your dick blown off.
Like the Taiwanese maker of these things already stood out saying, "We didn't make them."
I have a feeling that the Taiwanese maker of those things should probably go on vacation somewhere else for a while. Yeah, it's probably going to be
Don't bring a pager.
Yeah, don't bring pagers. Although hilarious. The memes have been amazing. And I'm like, if anyone from Israel happens to be listening, good job blowing up the terrorists, guys. That is just fabulous. I've been laughing about that for 2 days. That's just great.
I have to ask, who the hell uses pagers still? Well, apparently.
Well, does, because they're low tech and they're hard to track. You can't hack them. Well, they thought.
Yeah, no. Well, it's the same with the walkies too, right? But that's
Oh yeah, their walkie-talkies are blowing up today. Just thinking Mohammed there, whatever his name is, Mustafa, going, "Oh man, my pager's just blowing up." I've been waiting to use that for 2 days, so.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that. Oh my god. New gun stuff?
New gun stuff. Let's do that. Let's do some new gun stuff. Why don't we do the stuff with new guns? And that'll be brought to you by Bullseye North, Canada's shooting superstore and a proud supporter of the CCFR, with a wide selection of guns and top trending gear for any shooter. I don't know if these are new or not, but I'm just going to kind of browse their on sale section and see. Oh, they got a 3-pack of those throwing knives. Tell you what, my sons love this when we're out camping. As like they're bored, like find a stump, throw these at them. And they love doing that.
Nice.
Yep.
Level 11 parenting there right now, Adriel. Well done.
I think some passerbys might have not have thought so, but I certainly thought it was fine.
Welcome to Alberta. The second pick is current. The first one I deleted.
Which one was the second one?
The Henry Lever Action Shotgun 410 Sidegate.
I kind of like it.
That is sexy.
Sidegate with a 410?
Yeah, man.
That's new.
Little shells. They're tiny.
My birthday is coming up. If anybody wants to get ideas, just say.
All right.
Cool.
Fine.
There's a PSA on a Sabre AR-10 pistol. We can't even have AR-10s anymore.
Yeah, shut up.
This is for Kyle's entertainment only.
Well, you're just punishing the rest of us.
Yeah, why are you such a tease?
Because I can't have a 1911, so I'm just going to go self-destruct mode.
Oh, they launched it.
Yeah.
That's an AR-10 pistol.
That's the thing is, he's not even shooting a pistol.
No.
Well, they mentioned they have SBR.
SBR and pistol. There's a pistol.
Yeah, there's the pistol.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Neat.
Yeah, okay. It'd be interesting to see how much it is, but...
And then
considering the PSA, it's probably not that expensive.
I think you're pretty cheap.
MP7 at home. Oh.
This must be Mike's favorite.
That looks like fun.
Yes.
That looks neat.
I approve.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I need to do my 320 up like that.
I wonder if we can get those in Canada. Would they be a carbine?
Can't get them now.
No? With the big carbine?
No.
No, I mean, you could pretty much do the same thing. Get like a Ronin stock for your pistol.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but how would you get an FRT for it?
You have a pistol and you just put the Ronin stock. There's no FRT for it.
Oh, yeah. If it's pistol, it might go through. Like, yeah.
Well, I know guys that got the Ronin stocks for Glocks and that.
Yeah, I've seen them around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It basically looks to be very similar.
Yeah, we have less restrictions on SBR stuff. Well, that's fun. I want that weed gun.
The lever gun, the 4K
yeah.
lever.
That is pretty sexy. I like that too.
Yeah. There is also a sale on ammo.
Ooh.
Federal 308, 150 grain, $44.97 with a rebate.
I didn't know they made pure copper bullets, which when I was in my early days.
Federal or just in general?
Federal. I didn't know they have factory loaded. I know Barnes TTSX is pretty common. Mm-hmm. But when I was in my early days of learning POW, and me and my friend somehow found this article in Scotland, I believe, saying that hunters can't become dumb because they ingest lead too much. So maybe go lead free. I don't know.
I mean, if you're eating your shot shells, sure.
Yeah.
Eating right up to the hole.
You'd have to shoot. I hate that argument. You would have to shoot so much ammunition outdoors over such an extended period of time for it to have any effect. It's like that crap about a waterfowl.
No, it's
like killing ducks with lead shot. Go away.
No, David, it's when you impact the game, the lead will like peel off and
spread
there'll be some that spreads into the meat. Whereas this one won't because it's copper.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the real question, like, do you eat deer ribs? I don't. So I don't
there's
care.
Not enough meat
dogs,
there to do them. Yeah.
Oh, and there's so much fat and tallow in between the layers on the ribs. So like, you can eat the ribs, but it has lots of tallow in there. And like trying to get the little bit of meat out of there that you can is not worth it, in my opinion.
Anything that goes into ground.
Yeah, I put it in the ground that we had.
Ribs? The deer rib meat? You put that in your ground?
Ground meat? Yeah. Hey. Yeah, strip it. All the meat. All the meat.
Dogs.
Bones and all.
My dogs get it. The bones too. Yeah. He gets those too. They'll all disappear.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Don't you want to care for your dog so your dog doesn't get dumb?
No, my dog gets the lead.
Dog,
I don't care.
You guys have seen my dog. It would take it a year just to go through an island deer carcass.
Mine eats quite a bit of deer meat. Over
yes, yours does, yes.
And the lead, I don't care if he eats the lead. He can get a little bit dumber. That's fine.
Just don't eat the dog.
He's my emergency food storage. You know, if push comes to shove, you know, that he's the last thing I'll eat. I'll spray my mouth.
That.
What's that? Sorry, Kelly, what'd you say?
I said the children before the dog.
I know. I have concerns
my
that Adriel has a list of his family members in which order he's planning on eating them in.
The neighbors will go
You're
first.
You're number three.
Nate, careful.
You know the Mad Max where they've got those guys who spray paint their mouth and they go, that'll be me. I'll be out there D2 probably.
Power goes in that 2-day power outage and Adriel's eating the neighbors already. He's not even on a generator gas yet.
Yeah, I'll still have fresh fruit, but yeah, I'll be out cannibalizing people. And the dogs last. When I run out of people, the dog comes up. Anyways, I think I'm out of gun stuff. So why don't we get into you had a main topic idea, Dustin, for us to like name a gun that someone else is.
I did.
Embodying.
So my main topic for tonight, I would like, and we'll do it by committee, I suppose. What gun does each of the hosts embody in our feelings? I have a little list that I was writing down for all of y'all. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, just thinking about, you know, things, and I don't know if you guys have thoughts about what kind of guns each of you kind of feels like you maybe embody a little bit.
Well, I know there's
can't say I've ever thought of it
with everyone.
Really, you've never thought about this?
Is this like one of those Facebook things? Which animal are you?
No, yeah.
And it turns out it's all of our password hints.
Yeah,
probably all my password hints. To be honest,
I like this. So all right, I'm going to just spit out some of mine, and these are kind of basic, you know, but this is how I feel. Kelly, the obvious one would be a 10/22. You are kind of, you know, one of those 10/22 goddesses, but I want to give an honorable mention to the gun behind you because I do
Winchester Wildcat.
I would like to give an honorable mention to the Styrog behind you, because you've got some European heritage. You're super reliable, extra cool, and you come in kind of like a small but lethal package. So that's how this game is supposed to go. So that's what I think about Kelly, and it's not just because I've been staring at that picture behind you for years, but we got to get some more pictures behind you. But yeah, that's what I think for Kelly. Dave, I don't get to listen to you often, but I do think that you are the embodiment of the C7A2. When I see you on, anytime I see post on Facebook, anything like that, that's you just kind of give those feels of, again, you know, that like robust, reliable service rifle kind of deal that, you know, I don't know. Those are, again, my kind of feels when I think Dave, I think C7.
And that is exactly what I wrote down too.
I was thinking pretty much the same.
I've got FAL because he's a little bit older, so he gets an FAL. That's good.
Hey, I'm post Val. Thank you.
Sorry, no. You get the L1A1.
I do actually have a Colt Canada, so yeah, good choice.
I like that. Tony, yours is an obvious one. You do feel like you've got some 1911 single stack energy to you. Yep. You know, there's a classicness to your personality. You're fun and entertaining to be around, and I feel like that is a good pick for you. I can't wait for you to have one of your very own.
Thank you.
Even though I'm sure you're going to spend too much on it.
Nah, I'll be conserved on the first one.
Liar.
Get a Nork.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I tried one. I tried Dave, Diversity Dave's. And first, I almost broke it. Second, it almost cut me. So I guess no.
Can't break it in 1911, though. They just break themselves.
They do.
More, and then I really want to hear everybody else's. Adriel, I could pick XYZ bolt gun and still be the embodiment of the hunting gear guy in my mind, but you've actually brought up the gun that does kind of feel very you a couple of times. I kind of place you as an M1 Grant. Like, again, there's some like historical reliability. That gun has ushered in so much.
And ushered out so much,
but there's still that's something that you can certainly reliably hunt with, fight with, and put on the wall. And I don't know, it's all around pretty classic and awesome. And I think that's you, just my thinking. And Kyle, finally, Kyle, I think that you are a very raced out, very, very expensive AR-10 in 6.5 Creedmoor. That's kind of my speed for you know, all the vibes that you've given since you've been on the show. That's kind of where I think you're at, you know? Something that's effective, but yeah. Yeah. That's my thoughts. Tell me if I'm wrong.
No.
No. Raced out gun? Right. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's funny because pretty much everybody was the same as what you had said, give it some thought. I had pretty much the same thought for everybody.
Love it.
Similar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Similar.
I'm looking at Adriel's list and I'm like, oh yeah, yeah.
I was trying not to look at that. I saw him typing. Oh, okay, I'm gonna scroll.
I did mine.
I had to write them down just to like get the thoughts out.
Yeah. But so Dustin, for you, I did throw like, I would say something like a PS90.
Ah.
Fun and quirky.
I like this. This is the gun after my own heart too. I dig that. I think that's fair.
Yeah, but yeah, like quite literally, like I had the 10/22 for Kelly, 1911 for Tony, old carry handle AR for Dave, and yeah, I had the M1 Grand for Adriel.
Not alone.
Cool. I got a Vector for Dustin.
I dig that.
Way more.
That's
unique.
Cool.
Yeah, high performance. Very unique. And on lots of movies.
Yeah.
Kyle. Yeah. Flashy AR-15, something with all the go fast parts in it. Maybe a delayed roller blowback. Dave, FAL. FAL's fun. I would love an FAL.
Right.
An Air 15 C7. Yeah, that'd be cool.
FAL.
Kelly blinged out 1022. Like, that makes the most sense. You have one of those. Tony, got an interesting one for you, QBZ 95.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
Not the Type 97, the QBZ. Yeah.
I've never saw that kind of ammo. Maybe one day I will. I don't know. It's like 5.8, some, I don't know, even.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's steel case or brass. I think it's steel.
Probably steel. Cheap, right?
Cheap.
Who's next? Does anyone else want to go?
Yeah, I'll go. So, as I said, Dustin, the C7 was my go-to for Rendev. It just makes sense. And put an Alcan on there and he's good to go. For you, I had the Chiappa, the Rhino, but with the blue, that's multi unicorn.
I just about bought it. You have no idea how close I was to owning that gun. Oh, that makes me
And happy. 357 Magnum. It's like amazeballs to shoot, and it's so much fun, and it's colorful. It's got a personality. That's you.
Aw, that's the Nebula, by the way, the model in particular.
Yeah,
I that's an excellent pick. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. I was gonna, so with Adriel is something that's, he's dependable, he's reliable. I actually did think more of the so again, dependable, reliable. He's actually got a little bit of quirkiness to him as well, so you know, something along the lines of whether it's a Mauser or whether it's a Garand or it's something that's just, yeah, that's reliable.
Lee Enfield 303. Not a
there
Mauser.
You go.
Yeah.
Well, anyways. And then, Kyle. Kyle is just straight through and through. He's got race guns. So, you know. I actually think that he has to be either, well, he's just abandoned us like royally. So it's an AR-10 or A-15, AR-15. So and just blinged out to the max and everything that you can put on it. And, you know, doctored up and everything, because he, out of all of us, he's the only one that can shoot it. So, Tony, okay. So Tony, I think that going back to the basics, because you love a firearms, is just, you know, infectious. And I know that we as Slamfire, we've all purchased the Ruger Wrangler, but you need to purchase one because it's going back to actually just who you are, and getting from my perspective is that you're part of the team. But you're also somebody who loves.
Until you get a Wrangler.
Right. But you're also somebody who really likes historical and going back into and period. But that's what started you. And I think that's what started your love of firearms too.
Why did you have to buy a single action revolver? At least buy a double action.
It's a requirement. If you're going to be on Slamfire Radio, you have to have one.
We even have a logo.
I do.
Wow.
So, Ruger Wrangler. There you go.
There you go. I'll put that on the list of things I should buy.
Yeah.
Tony, we got to hear yours. What do you think?
I think everything is pretty correct. I strongly agree with Dave C7. I think you had a story with it. Didn't you win something from Cole and then you bought a Cole? Was that money or something?
Oh, I won at a match. I won $500 cash from Colt Canada, so I spent it on a Colt Canada. So right. They got their money back. And then I had an Elcan that I'd bought years ago, so I have a C7.
Were they like a surplus or?
Yeah, it's the surplus, the scratch and dent, although the one I got had no scratch and dents on it until I got it, but it was the Colt Canada IURs, which is the most accurate semi-automatic rifle I've ever owned. It's a tack driver. I love that thing.
Oh, the dog was here. Distracted. And I definitely agree with Kyle's race gun.
I'll see you, your dog, and I'll raise you a cat.
Cat, there you go, black cat. Isn't there something about, like, say in Chinese or English? I saw it's in English that you, like, a black cat brings a fortune or something. Yeah,
it's English too.
They bring nothing but good luck. They're lovely. Lovely.
But I really want to put Kyle with a shotgun because his history of racing with shotguns, but I don't know which one.
M2.
Probably the M2. Yeah, that's probably more accurate. And I think, yeah, Dustin's PS90 is good, but I want to say it's has to be a short barrel because you can.
Yeah, yeah, I guess, yeah, more P90 than PS90. More, yeah.
Well, maybe not full auto. Well,
you can.
No, maybe you can. Maybe you can. For Adriel, for some reason, I don't know why, it's his video that I've watched basically all of his videos, and I know some, like, some things that kind of draw me more into his channel, including the SS211. But for some reason, the name Adriel just stuck with the Savage 99. And I don't understand why. It's just in my brain. It's just Adriel,
you're a cool
Savage
gun.
99.
Yeah.
I don't know what to give Kelly, though. I really want to say the AUG just because it's what I see the most often. It's just that. But she obviously instruct Maple Seed a lot and Tiny Twin. No, I should put the Wildcat on there because that's the gun she mentions the most. But no,
I need to learn to embrace the Wildcat.
I don't think I thought that was the idea, but after you mentioned that the accuracy just drops off a cliff, I don't know. That seems like a weird one. Also, side note, I think there's a conspiracy theory that Windows is forcing me to update the OS by just crashing my computer and doing an update. So that was...
It does that.
Good.
I mean, that's effective. Yeah. Force reboot.
Boop. There you go.
Well, thank you for humoring me.
I didn't get to go yet.
Oh, you didn't get... Yeah, you're right. You didn't go. Sorry. There's so many of us.
I know. So, Dustin, I actually had P90 for you. But I have blue Cerakote P90, which I'm sure one could
nice.
Do, except the mags. Kyle, fancy pantsy AR-10, because, yeah, screw you and your ARs. Kelly, blinged out 1022, of course, with all the Gucci parts on it.
Yep.
Adriel, I had Lee Enfield, but I had Bubba'd because...
Oh, God.
Quarterized. Quarterized with a scope. There's
the trouble's right here.
Canadian and reliable. But also cheap, because you're not paying the money people want for a full wood Enfield these days. You're buying the Bubba'd one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Tony, because you're the diversity hire, SKS/M305.
Well, you went there.
Yep.
Yeah.
The classic Canadian guns.
That's
true.
That's a really good one for Adriel, for sure. That's like, yeah. And Tony, too. Yeah.
I don't even see that many Enfields around anymore.
There were so many back in the day. When they were like $20, $20-$25 bucks. And you'd go into gun stores like Ontario Sporting Goods at the north end of Toronto, and they would have barrels of them, like just like a 45-gallon drum full of Enfields.
And you just get to pick your own.
Yeah, and you just pick them out and pick the one you want. And they did the same thing with fowls for years because fowls were so cheap. I mean, you get infield Ishpor, the Indian ones, they were like freaking $150. They were so cheap. The wood was trash on them, but they were so cheap. Amazing. Back in the day, Grands were like $300, $400. So yeah. Anyway.
Wow.
I miss those days in some ways.
And Kyle enrolled in the Civil Marksman program.
What?
In the States.
Get Grands. Get a Grand. Yeah. I think they still have them.
They do.
I believe they do.
That might just be for citizens, though. Do you have to be a citizen to get CMP grants?
Maybe. I don't know. I know, like, I'm too old to join the military. They won't take me.
Does that mean you can't be a civil?
I haven't even looked into it, so. But I would almost think that would be almost like reserves, isn't it?
No.
No?
No.
Well,
no, it's not.
It is to get Civvy shooting. Yeah. Well, you've got your work for next week, Cal.
Research that. Look it up.
But yeah.
Okay. Well, sounds like we're all in agreement. We did the council.
That was actually pretty cool on how close we were all were on our choices. That
was really
good.
Yeah.
It's funny how, Dustin, you had almost purchased that that revolver.
Literally, shout out to International Shooting Supplies. They tried very, very hard to sell me that gun because I came in and looked at it a couple of times.
You need to buy it. It's gorge. I've shot
what gun are we talking about?
It's the Nebula edition of the Chiappa Rhino 357. There's a 6-inch barrel version of it. And if I could carry a gun like while I was hunting, I would get a chest rig for that. Like, I wanted that super bad, but it was kind of expensive. I already had a couple 357s.
$50,000 for a revolver.
For a revolver that I can't take out into the bush and use it the way I want. Right,
ooh, that is pretty.
Right? Wow. And you really nailed it because that just is so my energy. I wanted that gun a lot.
That is very cool, actually.
And y'all got that P90 right too. That's one of my favorite guns. So.
Yeah,
but blue Cerakote.
I'm gonna do that now. That's happening.
Actually, woo-wooed, not just. Blue.
Ooh, with stickers on it.
That's got to happen. But look at that rhino. I need that in my life. That's
beautiful. Yep.
Apparently California legal. All right.
Yeah, it's 6 rounds.
Yep.
Pretty.
Neat. Okay. Moving on to listener feedback. We've been have we been getting all the comments?
Yep.
Yeah,
more or less
getting there.
Yeah, Abdul. We've been getting them.
Hi.
Emails. Did we get this one last week?
Nope.
From
okay. Hi, guys and gal. Seems like YouTube did suppress my comments a couple of shows back. I mentioned Cabela's had their CVA Wolf V2 on sale for $400 if someone wanted a stainless muzzleloader but didn't want a DIY. Still on sale as of now. Keep the podcast coming and keep the good fight. And fight the good fight.
I'm guessing YouTube because comments? You mentioned a sale of a firearm. They don't quite like it. It's not that you have to match the whole description, even if you're anything close. Like, I complained, I think right before I joined the show, that I wrote a comment in about Magpul having P320 magazines, and that was they think I'm trying to sell a P320 magazine or something.
I love YouTube and I love all the things that people are doing now. When you watch videos about anything, sooner or later, there is a word that's bleeped out, which is completely inane, but YouTube doesn't like it, or a picture will be blurred, or the text is X'd out, or they won't say the word, but they kind of talk around the word.
Yeah.
This is a ridiculous, this is a clown world we live in.
It's called the modern language art.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't wait for whatever our next video platform will be.
Are you starting one?
I was going to say I want to start one. Anybody have a couple $1 million worth of venture capital we could dig into?
Oh, if only.
Tony, you know anybody who's bringing money into Canada? Just ask it for no reason.
Well, Nate feels back.
I wish.
Yeah, that's better.
Cool.
Audio
my audio just went bonkers for a second there. Yeah, so those are on sale. I mean, the cheap muzzleloader that I've seen is the Traditions rifles, like the Buckstalker and that kind of thing. Sometimes they're on for $3.99 with a scope, $2 something without a scope. Wow. So yeah, you can get cheap ones. Tony, did you want to cover the YouTube?
Once they come up with cartridge loading muzzleloaders, I may buy one.
From the breach, hey.
That's crazy.
They're not going to do that.
Yeah, that sounds like a revolutionary idea. From two seconds ago.
Yeah, got it. Yeah. Cover the comments. Tony? It's 2 hours in. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. All right. Three comments from Eddie. Good job, Eddie. Way to go, Dustin. It's always good to spread a positive influence of our sport. Even internationally, I once got to take a contractor coworker from the UK to the range. I don't know if you guys watched the video that's floating around on Facebook of like a IPSC match in the UK like long ago where they're like shooting off boats and stuff. It's crazy. I figured he wouldn't have much opportunity to shoot handguns otherwise, which is too bad. And that video told me that IPSC was a very popular and illustrious sport in the UK once upon a time.
Yep.
It was kind of fun watch. Eddie, again, for those who are getting old like me, you're not that old, I don't think, you may recall the Block has been the official opposition before.
Yes, after, which is hilarious.
Brian Maroney betrayed us with Bill C-17. The Progressive Conservatives subsequently were blew out of the next election. He saw the writing on the wall and handed off to Kim Campbell, who was the so-called justice minister that ushered in C-17. The PCs got decimated to 2 seats and lost official party status. Kim Campbell even lost her own seat and will be remembered as one of the shortest serving prime minister ever. Isn't that
it was a
less in, yeah, in England?
Well, the funny thing about Kim is she got fired from her job, but has done extremely well since then living off the government because she got all sorts of patronage appointments.
Huh. Okay. She's the Bloc formed official opposition until the Reform Party gained enough seats to become, as Pesta Manning said, the official loyal opposition. May the fate of the current Liberal Party of Canada be the same as the PCs in the 1990s. I did, this is on a separate time, but I did read up on the history of the Conservative Party, and I thought it's kind of interesting where they just went off a freaking cliff. And
well, so did the Liberals.
Like a Western alliance.
Exactly. When Harper got in, they were down to non-party status.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It does happen. Probably going to see it again.
Yep.
Any other comments?
Last comment. Fort Scott's Tumble Upon Impact, TUI AML, is a few years old. The video I saw on TUI weren't that impressive. In calibrated ballistic gel, the temporary stretch cavity were as big as the ones produced by expanding rounds, but its permanent wound cavity were smaller. Permanent wound cavity is favored by ballistic wound experts after sufficient penetration to reach vital organs. If one were looking for a pass-through shot on game or barrier, a expanding monolithic projectile, for example, copper, would be my preference. In the West Coast provinces, it is illegal to hunt with a non-expanding bullet, same in Alberta. There's no exception for tumbling bullets.
Penetration.
I don't really think there should be. I mean, what my 5.56 FMJ, it tumbles if it impacts at the right velocity. And if it doesn't, it doesn't tumble.
Yeah. True.
It just rockets right through. Or at the wrong angle, rockets right through.
Consistent expansion at a sorted velocity.
I want to hunt deer with a copper 223. Why can't I do that? At least you know,
come to Ontario.
Then stuck in Thunder Bay for another 2 days. Yeah. That'd be great.
Come to Kingston. I'll take you out.
Yeah. You can hunt with
them. Okay, is that the last comment?
Yep, that's the last YouTube comment.
Moving on. You can contact us on Discord and Instagram, that kind of thing. I just threw a couple of new photos on our Discord. Cabela's Brown Owls, we'll do that next week. Thanks to our supporters on Patreon and Player. If you'd like to email the show, send an email to signfireradio@gmail.com. Shout outs and recommendations. Anyone?
Yep.
I have a shout out for all the Maple Seed instructors that made it out. The Kelly Squared, who flew out from Ontario to make sure that our Lady Seed went well. The ladies for stepping up and doing the POI so that they can get closer to that instructor patch. And that's it for me. You all just fight for who goes next.
Okay, so I'm going to say exactly what Adriel said. Ditto.
Go ahead.
And then I'm also going to give a huge shout out to Nate for coming out and saying hello. I'm going to give another huge shout out to J.R. Cox for the lunch and just, allowing us to come shoot at the range. And I am going to give a huge shout out to Jess Titchler on the second place finish for the Canadian youth team that was in Colorado this past week, and they kicked ass. Nice. So the PRS, so Jess and three other youth shooters placed second in the world for PRS shooting. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Nice. Give a huge shout out to her. So
cool.
That's it.
Tony, looks like you got one.
Oh, this one from last week, but I do have a recommendation since we've been talking 1911 so much. Vortex Nation podcast just released the episode on all the various 1911s. There's a discussion about, I believe some of the hosts worked in a retail environment before, and they were talking about veterans saying, oh, I want this Colt government. This might not be made by Colt, but it was a government length gun. So that's worth a listen on YouTube.
I did say it once, but I want to shout out Scott from International Shooting Supplies. You tried so hard to sell me that gun, and I wish I could
have. That gun's still there?
Locked no, away? He sold it like 2 days later. Otherwise, it probably would
have. Well, when we can buy handguns again, Dustin.
Oh, I'm getting
the first piece you're picking up.
Yep, definitely.
Dave?
To all my ORA range staff friends, all of our range officers and assorted people that come help us on the range, thank you so much. And thank you for Gavin B for being my range buddy last weekend. It was fun to hang out with you for the day. And to Kelly. See you in 2 weeks, Kelly.
Woo!
Yay.
I get to hang out with all of my peeps.
I know. It's going to be a great weekend.
Except for Tony. I didn't see you in Tony. I didn't get to see you this past week.
You're driving 600 kilometers an hour, like a day. I wouldn't blame you that on you.
Yeah. We put on 2,000 kilometers in 4 days.
Wow. Kelly, come do a Western Canada tour. Come say hi.
I will. It's on the plans for next year.
We have a spare room. Cool. Just saying.
Yay. Okay.
All right.
Anyone else?
Kyle.
Unan. All right. Join our Discord server. Watch us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Player. Join the CCFR. And we'll see you all next week. See everyone.
Bye.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, time to get a gun.